Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Firestone Destination AT2. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go, hour two. Live in L.A., it's the Herd. Dodgers season on the line today at 2 o'clock Pacific. Walker Buehler goes for the Dodgers. Here's the season today. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. It just, blink of an eye, very, very long season. All of a sudden, you look up. Dodgers had that do-or-die game. Cardinals, one close.
Amazing.
Do-or-die game against the Giants, one close. This whole season for them, injuries, urgency, win or go home, and they've answered the bell every time. So here's the season today. You're at home. You probably have your number two. Scherzer would be considered, you know, your number one because of his experience with the Detroit Tigers and the Nationals. Walker Buehler's your great young arm. They need like 8 good innings from him. Go to Jansen in the bullpen, give everybody else rest, and then they got a shot to beat Atlanta.
Well, listen, this is what it's all about. This is what you make the big bucks for, moments.
So here we go. It's the Herd hierarchy. There are a lot of good teams. I pay respect to one team. I'm not sure they're a top 10 team, but I have to respect their quarterback. So here we go.
Herd hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams, according to Colin. Number 10.
I'm going to put the Raiders in there because I think they're very viable offensively, and it's mostly for Derek Carr, who's already on his 5th coach now with the Raiders. He's second most passing yards in the NFL. He has multiple touchdown passes in every Raider game this year, every win for them. The offensive line has regressed. They're swimming in chaos. They're not brilliantly run or managed or coached. And here are the Raiders in a tough division at 4-2. Now, they don't take the ball away at all. They got 3 takeaways against Denver. They had 3 all season. So it's a very limited team that has to win only one way, a shootout. But they deserve recognition, Raiders at 10.
Number 9.
The Titans. They're boring. They do it a different way, but let's be honest. Outside of an overtime loss to the Jets, they'd be on a 5-game winning streak. The Bills have a great pass rush. They didn't allow a single sack last night. And Ryan Tannehill may put you to sleep, but it's the 9th game he's come back in the 4th quarter to win. By the way, that's the most in the NFL in that span. So the reality is, since he's become a Titan, he's been a very good late game quarterback. And Derrick Henry's the best running back by a mile. I think they're well coached. They don't have the offensive firepower. They're not going to be as flashy as Kansas City. They're not controversial like a Cleveland. They're a really well-coached football team that can go toe-to-toe physically with every team in this league. They're number nine.
Number eight.
I don't know what to do with Green Bay because I don't think they're playing great football. And this is every single year with Matt LaFleur, they've started 5-1, and they just beat the Bears, and they always beat the Bears. I feel they're very dependent on one wide receiver, Devontae Adams. I will say this, the Packers defense, 16 straight games, they're not going to allow a 300-yard passer. I think they're pretty good on the back end. They have one of the great corners in the game that'll be coming back, Jaire Alexander. It's a good football team. I don't think they're playing brilliant football right now. It feels like it's dependent on Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, and Devontae Adams, but I put them at eight.
Number seven.
Here comes Kansas City. They are averaging 3.1 points per drive. What does that tell you? They don't go three and out. Most dangerous offense in the league. They've got to end the turnovers. Now, here's the good news. They're not punting, so the offense is still fine when they don't turn it over. They've had 10 punts this year. That's bizarre. It's the fewest in the NFL. Here's the downside, why I only put them seven. They're allowing 7 yards a play. It's just hard to win in a quarterback league when you're almost giving up a first down every play. So it's a fireworks show. They cut down on the turnovers. They're going to end up winning this division.
Number six.
Tampa Bay. I think they'll be higher than this in a month, but three of their top four secondary players are out. They're the most penalized team, but they're number one in passing. They're going to have three receivers over 1,000 yards. They have the greatest quarterback of all time. And again, this week, they're about five or six in the league. I think in a month, they're probably top three. Tampa Bay at number six.
Number five.
But I'll give Dallas, even though Dallas lost to them, I think this morning Dallas is the better team. They lead the NFL in yards per play, 6.6. They've outgamed every opponent, including Tampa Bay this year. They have only team in the league that's 6-0 against the spread. What does that tell you? They're still undervalued by everybody around the league. Vegas doesn't want you to bet the Cowboys, the most popular team in America, and go 6-0. That's the team they don't want to be 0-6 on. This defense is fast. I think they have the best playmaking corner in the league. I thought tight end was an issue. It's not. It's become very productive. As long as they're healthy on the offensive line, this is as good and productive an offense outside of maybe Kansas City as the league has.
Number four.
I'll give it to the Rams because I think they're overall a better defense than Dallas, but four of their five wins have come against playoff teams last year. So they have played a really tough schedule, and they're winning games. And in 18 straight games, over 300 yards offense. So I think they're brilliantly coached. Matt Stafford gives them big play potential. You know, their offensive line always feels old to me, but every time I go to PFF, it's rated in the top four. Cam Akers is gone, but Sony Michel and Henderson have been excellent replacements. So Michelle comes from somewhere else. Henderson was already on the roster. They look great this past weekend. There's no reason why they can't win the NFC. There's nothing standing in their way. They've got a pass rush. They got a quarterback. They're explosive. They can own the clock. They lead at half. They've never lost under McVay.
Number three.
But I'd give the Ravens a slight edge because I think they're so electric at quarterback. They're on a five-game winning streak. They're only lost to the Raiders. That's another reason I put the Raiders in the poll. They'd be the number one AFC seed right now. You know, it comes down to this with Lamar Jackson. He's won 10 of 11 starts. He's won 85% of his games. Whether you like, they're not always pretty. I mean, against the Colts, they were bad first half. They have bad quarters. You know, very much, Lamar's very much a rhythm player. And when he's not in a rhythm, he'll have a bad half or a bad series or a bad quarter. But they are so electric and so dynamic. And I'm not sure there's a roster in the NFL where guys are closer. I got Baltimore at three.
Number two.
I'm going to move Buffalo down one spot. By the way, they had more yards, more plays, more first downs, more time of possessions than the Titans. They came a banana peel on a slip by Josh Allen from beating a good football team. I'm not going to drop them more than one spot. This is still an excellent football team. 75% of the time, maybe 95% with Josh Allen, you're going to get a first down on that play. He slipped. I'm not going to drop him. Bills number two.
number one.
What do you want me to do with Arizona? You know the thing I like about Arizona? We pay all this attention to Kyler Murray, and we should, but it's not just that he's dynamic. He's completing 74% of his passes. So they've got veteran leadership. They can get you short yardage. They can run the football. They protect the quarterback. They get to your quarterback. I think we're spending so much time saying it's all about Kyler and DeAndre Hopkins. Oh, that's great. That's the icing. But the cake is really good here. They protect it. They run it. They get after your quarterback. I really like what Steve Keim did. J.J. Watt. The going out and getting, you know, Matt Prater, like veteran presence on special teams, offense, defense. Right now, I got to tell you something. They are a Hail Mary away from beating Cleveland 37-7 in Cleveland. That Hail Mary is you know, you start to think, oh, that game's pretty competitive. It wasn't competitive, like at all. And Cleveland's good. All right, first fullback in the history of football to be named to a Pro Bowl. 11 years, 3 Super Bowl rings, and a couple of Pro Bowls. Moose Johnson joining us, Fox Sports NFL analyst. By the way, you had the Bengals. I want to talk Bengals before we get to Dallas because you had the Bengals this past week. And I was shocked that they would go on the road and complete. I'm not saying Detroit's great, but you've been in this league for a long time. It's hard to blow people out on the road. Cincinnati's kind of a rebuilding team. I was kind of like, wow, that's something, right? Like, for people that didn't see it, why was it so effortless for Cincinnati? What did they do? Because I just was, that game wasn't even close. Second quarter, it was over.
Yeah, well, maybe second half a little bit. I think in the first quarter, it was a little bit more competitive than I anticipated. I think the big thing, Colin, is that emotional gas tank for the Detroit Lions finally hit empty. I mean, after losing the way they've lost those first five games to start the year, but still came back to work every Monday, ready to get back at it. You know, let's fix our mistakes. Let's improve in the areas we can improve in. We know we have a small margin for error. We're not as talented as most of the teams that we're going to be facing down the stretch here. But they come in and continue to grind and continue to work. And I think it just finally caught up with them in the second half of that game. And, you know, that was the one concern that we had about Detroit. But it was one of the things I wanted to see from Cincinnati, because Zach Taylor, the head coach, said, that Green Bay game was not a measuring stick for us. I know how good we are, and that was a tough loss. I thought it would be more impressive to me to see Cincinnati come out after that tough loss against a very stubborn, tough Detroit Lion team and just knock them out of the park early.
Yeah. So I want to ask you about this, because we don't talk about this in the media, but I think it's really important that when you're a football coach, you got 55, 60 alpha males, successful guys, hard workers, mostly aggressive guys. I would be, if I had a quarterback I trusted, Moose, I would go for it in 4th-and-3 constantly, because I think I would understand the temperature of the room is that I'm not going to go to my special teams. I'm not going to backups. I'm not going to a kicker. I think sometimes just to buy equity in a room, if you trust your quarterback, you just go for it, and you live with the consequences. So I didn't have a problem with Buffalo last night going for it. Kind of what's your takeaway on that?
I didn't have a problem either, especially on the road against a team like Tennessee. You don't want to get into overtime. So to me, it's the execution of it. Every time we see these situations and it comes up short, everybody wants to complain about the decision that was made. How about the execution? Look at Deion Dawkins. Watch what happens to your left tackle. That's where the play breaks down.
Yeah.
It's not the play call. It's the execution of the play that was called. And listen, I was a part of that back when we played in Dallas. We went to Philadelphia. We got stuffed on 4th-and-1, not once, but twice. We were saved by the 2-minute warning being called, you know, right prior to the snap. And we came back and ran the exact same play and got stuffed again. So I understand, you know, the play call, you know, some people will go there, but I always go to the execution. As players in the NFL, that play comes into the huddle and you may not agree with it. You may have wanted something else, but that's what was called. And you go out and you execute that play.
Yeah. Listen, I've said this. I thought Dallas would be a playoff team, but one of my criticisms on Dallas is it's a very insular organization. It's the Jones family. I'm a big believer if you own a company, you need outside voices, and it's not kind of the way it's run. But I will say this. You look at the last two drafts, Moose, boy, they've hit some home runs. I mean, out of the park. Trayvon Diggs may be the best young corner in the game. Micah Parsons. I mean, they've really done. CeeDee Lamb, I didn't love it. I thought they don't need a wide receiver. He's spectacular. Is that, you know, and I'm from the outside looking in, but do guys like me, do people like me sometimes, we look at the Cowboys and think, it's all the Jones family. It's a, you know, they don't let anybody else in. Are they better run than we give them credit for?
Will McClay has done an outstanding job. And I think Stephen Jones is taking a bigger role in that department. And I think that they've got a really, really good chemistry. I think that Will McClay has done a great job of being able to provide Jerry Jones a snapshot of a player based on color coding, where he can pick up a one sheeter and look at it and really have a good feel for what Will and Stephen are thinking. So I think it's always been a joint effort. I think there's a little bit more responsibility, maybe shifting with some of the people who've been a part of that decision-making process. But Will McClay and Stephen Jones have got a really good chemistry going right now. I've had the privilege and the honor to sit in on some of those draft meetings, and it is cumulative effort. I mean, you're talking about all the scouts. Everybody has the opportunity to step up and voice their opinion for or against a player at that time. So it's not the way we look at it from the outside, where we think it's a real small group at the top funneling it down. It's a large group at the bottom pushing it up. So I think they're getting a lot of good information. And you just ran through a list of guys. You know, I was the same with you with CeeDee Lamb, because they just gotten Michael Gallup,
right,
who was a heck of a player in the third round, you know, the year before. So they've done a really nice job. I think it's showing up this year. That's the most impressive thing to me is if they had that depth issue that they had last year. We've seen them weather the storm on the defensive side of the ball. There's some good players that have been out of this lineup for several weeks now, and they're still playing at a high level.
No, it's a great point. By the way, the concern is, and I said this yesterday, is that if a coach or a player kept making the same mistake, I mean, if you had a wide receiver that dropped the football, like, that's who he is after a while. You're like, listen, he's fast, he runs good routes, but he drops the ball. Mike McCarthy, I went back and found an article from 2017, and they talked about his game management and his weird use of timeouts. It's the same thing. I'm like, that feels like a legitimate concern that maybe Mike should be taken out of the end of half clock management thing. Is that a reasonable request? And is that being talked about in Dallas?
It pops up every once in a while. I think the last time, I think it was the Philadelphia game where they let that minute and 10 seconds kind of burn at the end of that first half. They were playing well, but they weren't producing points at that time. So that game was much closer than it should have been. And I think that a lot of the fan base felt that was an opportunity. There was plenty of time at that point, if they were more wise with the use of their timeouts, to get another opportunity to get not three, but potentially seven, as explosive as they were in that first half. So it does pop up from time to time. There's been a number of coaches around the NFL who struggled with this.
Yes.
There's a lot going on game day, and that's just one of the other elements that you're worried about. So I have seen some of the head coaches really kind of delegate that. And there's been conversations about that once they get into those situations, but it's a shared responsibility. I went up and visited with the Chiefs one year, and that was Andy Reid's big focus that offseason, was because, you know, Andy was always criticized, yes, for his clock management. And Andy, he went back and he took 1,300 plays from the NFL season that he felt were impactful, end of half, end of game, with decision makings regarding the clock. And went through all of the different scenarios and tried to come up with some type of philosophy at those points in the game. So it's something that I think sometimes coaches overlook until it becomes something really, really important on game day. And then it's too late because you haven't prepared yourself.
So when you look around the league, is there a team? I thought it was Buffalo until last night. Is there a team? I put Arizona number one because I think they're winning. They're doing multiple things well. They're not dependent. Kyler, beyond being excellent playmakers, completing like 74% of his throws, which is insane. Is there a team to you that jumps out, or do you think there's seven or eight in this league that are all tight?
I think there's four to six that are tight. I loved your analogy with Arizona about the cake. You know, we get caught up with the icing, and the cake is pretty good.
Yeah.
And I think they actually changed the flavoring of the cake in the offseason, because when we had them a couple of weeks ago against the Rams, our entire group felt differently walking out of the production meeting, especially in regards to Kyler Murray. There's something different about him this year. He was. I'm not saying that he wasn't enjoyable in the past, but he was a little bit curt with his responses. This time he was much more engaging. You could see that there was a sense of ownership with him on the offensive side of the ball. And when we talked to some people within the organization, really what it came down to is, you know, Patrick Peterson moving on to Minnesota on the defensive side, and Larry Fitzgerald, you know, still trying to figure out exactly what he wants to do on the offensive side. So some of these younger guys have now stepped up into leadership roles. And I think that Kyler Murray is one of those guys, and he's embraced it. And I think your other great point was the addition of some veteran leadership in J.J. Watt, in A.J. Green, Rodney Hudson. I think that that has been really, really important, too. You know, here's what you have to do to be a pro. And when you've got a young roster and your young players can watch three guys like that, get ready. Not what they do on Sunday, but what they do Monday through Saturday to get ready for Sunday. That's a huge plus as well.
Moose, Fox Sports NFL analyst, three rings. Great seeing you as always, my man. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Yeah, you got it. Always good to visit, Colin.
Yeah. Arizona's a fun story. There's always a team that jumps out in this league every year, and there's a team we're like, okay, and that's Arizona this year. But I think my favorite part about Arizona was the way in which they popped. They moved off a coach and a quarterback. Nothing against the people, Steve Wilks or Josh Rosen. But it was like, nobody does that in this sport. Hey, made a mistake, coach, quarterback. Boom, change. And it's worked. That you just do not see that in professional sports, where a general manager has ownership of a mistake in the two most vital areas. The head coach and the quarterback, he moved off both. And the winner are the fans in Arizona.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. The right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Firestone tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Firestone test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Hi, it's the Herd. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. It's easy, 90 seconds. Use the code HERD, H-E-R-D. That's code HERD for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd Show. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports. And now newly minted first-round picks like number one overall Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., and more. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of their first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered.
Check out their most popular brands like Prism, Select, Donruss, and more, including Panini Instant Cards celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen, such as Draft Night Instance. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Colin Cowherd Show.
Tonight, it's game four of the ALCS as Jose Altuve and the Astros take on Xander Bogaerts and the Red Sox at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, only on FS1 and the Fox Sports app.
A lot of good stuff going on. Red Sox keep hitting grand slams. We're so lucky. October, the weather's perfect. Like, it's cool now. I open up the window in my bedroom. It's incredible. It is so cold. I get up this morning and it's like so great. It's cold. And today I get an afternoon, basically do or die baseball game for one of the most talented teams in the last 10 years, the Dodgers. How good is that? After a Monday night football game, almost all these standalone games this year have been fantastic.
You get that, and then the NBA starts today.
Be watching that tonight. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, it appears to be hitting the fan in Philadelphia.
It's funny.
Ben Simmons was kicked out of today's 76ers practice for not being engaged, according to sources. That led to him being suspended for behavior detrimental to the team for tomorrow night's season opener on the road against the Pelicans. Simmons was expected to speak to the media today for the first time since the Sixers lost to the Hawks in last season's Eastern Conference semifinals, but obviously that is now canceled. Joel Embiid, however, did speak to the media after practice, and he was asked about Simmons, and he said, at this point, I don't care about that man, honestly. He does whatever he wants. That's not my job. I'm only focused on trying to make the team better, win some games, play hard every night, and try to lead the guys that we have here. I am not here to babysit.
This has always been my rule. I've talked about this before. I cannot babysit other men. Like at 35, if you don't have your act together.
I'm not babysitting anybody.
Yeah, like
if you are not my blood, I'm not babysitting you.
So it's like at this point with Ben Simmons, he is so spoiled. He's such a brat. That when you put a cell phone in your sweats,
we're showing video now for the radio audience.
He was trying to be obnoxious. You're being obnoxious to prove a point. And you know what I hope they do? I hope they trade him to an awful team and fans heckle him. That's where I know
Ben
Simmons.
At this point, how could he go to a good team? We're showing video of practice. He had on his sweatpants, so he wasn't really engaged, and he had his cell phone in his pocket during practice. We're also showing video of him now. The team is breaking down in the huddle after practice. He's not in the huddle, and he's walking around in the back, and then just kind of walks off. Doc Rivers also spoke to the media after practice and said, I thought he was a distraction today. I didn't think he wanted to do what everyone else was doing. I'm not going to give Ben every chance to be part of the team. As a coach, I have to protect the team first. Here's my question with Ben Simmons and what's happening right now. One, the Sixers are not a bad team.
No,
if
I like their roster.
This was a poorly run organization.
Yeah.
Now listen, we have questions about them allowing this to get to this point, but they're not a poorly run team. They have a championship winning head coach. They have another star in Joel Embiid. They have a good roster. They're considered a contender every single year. So it's not like you're leaving a terrible, poorly run organization that's flying through coaches and can't get the roster right and the fans are iffy. This is a very well-respected organization.
Oh, they have a star. They have it's at Tobias Harris, Curry, Embiid. It's not a bad team at all. If Ben Simmons was 75% as good as we thought he would be, it's a championship-level team.
Well, yeah, that's the other part. You're playing a role in them not being successful with your actual play on the actual court. So we can talk about all the intangibles and getting along and all those other things. You didn't play well enough for them to be where they're supposed to be.
Honestly, sometimes I wonder, and I don't know his background here much about it, but like if my son was acting like this at 23, I would call him as a dad and say, get it together. You're embarrassing you're being a schmuck. Is there nobody in his life that will say anything?
I don't know, because I don't know what the end game is here. Like, it's not about. I could support this behavior, I suppose. If he was being mistreated, if it was a dysfunctional situation, if it was like very obvious that he's being wronged here. But that's not the situation. It's disrespectful to the rest of the team who is there engaged trying to win a championship. They didn't do you wrong. Like, get the comments at the end of the season. Okay, we're adults here, right? Like, at one point, you move on from that. If I'm another team, why am I interested in this? What is the motivation?
The takeaway from this, once again, in life, when you have crisis, and you're not directly involved in it, you're the other NBA teams, you watch it and learn from it. The rule on this with Kyrie last year leaving for 2 weeks and Ben Simmons, when you sniff it at practice, get on the phone and move them. It always gets worse. It always gets worse. We've been on this for 2-3 years. Kyrie last year literally disappeared for 2 weeks. You get on the phone quietly and you move him. Every time, because now with social media, players can have their own message. They can control the narrative. You got to get out of bad spaces. In the NBA, the way the CBA works here, teams are trying. In the NFL, you could just cut a guy. But that's not the CBA here. So the player has huge leverage.
And where can he go? If I'm another team, I'm looking at it like this. Does he still offer some elite traits? Yes. Is he still a great player? Yes. But if you're doing this to the Sixers, who have a championship contending roster, who have a good coach, who are a well-run organization with a good fan base, very well respected, you come to us and you get tired of the way that we do things, why are you not going to do this again? Why are you not going to put us in a bad spot?
Yeah.
Of course you are. So this is a very bizarre situation. So the Giants got blown out again on Sunday, losing 38-11 to the Rams. And head coach Joe Judge said that this team won't quit and there's still a lot of football to be played. He said, this is definitely going to get better. I don't know what kind of guarantee fans want, but I can assure everyone out there as Giants fans and they want to know when it's going to turn. I can tell them we're working tirelessly to make sure we get this thing turned in the right direction. Not just for short-term results, but for long-term success. They are currently 1-5 after finishing 6-10 last season. State of New York football, pretty rough. Jets are 1-4 and had a bye this week.
If you have three things going on with your football team, you cannot win. Your quarterback's mistake-prone, your offensive line is awful, and you are missing your best player or two. So Saquon Barkley can't stay healthy. Quarterback's turnover-prone. Offensive line's bad. Y'all love Robert Saleh. For the Jets, why can't he win? His quarterback's mistake-prone, the offensive line's bad, and they don't have enough star power. Frank Reich had just two of these, and he's a good coach. Earlier this year, his stars were all beat up, and the offensive line was bad. Just two of them. His quarterback wasn't mistake-prone, Carson Wentz, and they couldn't win. They went 0-3. The three things in this league that just kill it. Your quarterback turns it over, your O-line is awful, so you can't engineer a run game, and your top players are hurt. Saquon Barkley's never healthy, so you're not. This is not a Joe Judge issue. Like, I'll defend him to the end. It's Brian Flores, we thought he was a good coach. His quarterback play is not great. They don't have a lot. Will Fuller's not playing star power, and the offensive line's a mess in Miami. You can't. Belichick has a good offensive line, and Mac Jones doesn't turn it over. And he can't win.
I just don't know what the solve is, because I agree with you. I don't think that it's Joe Judge, but someone has to answer for this.
Gettleman will get fired. They'll fire the GM.
They're hearing boos in the stadium. Like, the fans are not happy, as they shouldn't be. Like, this should be a significant step up year anyway. Like, you have to start showing progress.
But they have pieces. Do you start moving pieces and get to number 1, 2, or 3 in the draft and do another quarterback? I mean, we know this to be true. Except last night, well, this past weekend, if you count Monday as next week, although we don't, of the 14 games, the best quarterback won 13 of them. So could you solve it if you got the right quarterback? Absolutely.
Yeah.
So do you just do it in Arizona and say, okay, we have Daniel Jones, but we're going to draft another quarterback? Because right now, to me, there's something culturally wrong with the Giants. Since Coughlin left, they're just bad. They can't. Yeah. You're now on your third coach. Is it front office? Is it scouting? Whatever it is, it's not working upstairs.
No. Jones has 4 passing touchdowns and 4 interceptions this year.
It's not good enough.
So Jimmy Garoppolo participated in practice yesterday. Trey Lance is still sidelined with a knee injury. So according to the San Francisco Chronicle, Jimmy G did not appear to be limited by the calf injury from early October. He has missed the last 6 quarters from the calf strain. In the first half of the team's week 4 loss to the Seahawks, Trey Lance started the following week to the Cardinals, but left with a knee sprain. So they host the Colts on Sunday night and are currently 3.5-point favorites, according to Fox Bet, are the Niners.
That number's come down. It was 4 at one point. If it comes down to 3, take the Niners. Because generally, Sean McVay with extra prep time, how good do they look? If you give me Kyle Shanahan with an extra 4 or 5 days to prep, you have a bye week, you get it's pretty good.
I mean, yes, but who's going to be playing quarterback is the question.
I think Garoppolo is.
If he's healthy,
yep.
I mean, this is always the question with Jimmy G, and now you have another injury with Trey Lance. They really can't seem to get it together with these injuries across the board with the 49ers, but it's I just don't know what to make of them this year. That division is so difficult, and now you have the Niners and the Seahawks dealing with quarterback injuries. I think the division could quickly get away from both of those teams.
Good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort, performance tires for sporty handling, all-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Continental tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office, install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Continental test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Hi, it's the Herd. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Teams are knocking on the door of the conference finals, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered every step of the way with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out. As the NBA postseason winds down, it's fantastic. Super easy to get started with DraftKings. If you're a first-timer, really easy. Try betting on something like a team to win. Go to DraftKings Sportsbook's app, select your team, and place your first bet. It's that simple, really. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. It's easy, 90 seconds. Use the code HERD, H-E-R-D. That's code HERD for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd Show. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports. and now newly minted first-round picks like number one overall Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., and more. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of their first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out their most popular brands like Prism, Select, Donruss, and more, including Panini Instant Cards celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen, such as Draft Night Instance. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Colin Cowherd Show.
Escape QuickBooks. Go to NetSuite by Oracle. One-of-a-kind financing. NetSuite.com/Herd, H-E-R-D, right now. You know, I was thinking about it. I had my Herd hierarchy, and I was thinking, I mean, this morning, 8 divisions in football, 7 are led by the best quarterback in the division. The only one that's not is Mahomes, and he's a game out, to Derek Carr and Herbert, who are also excellent. So you got to have a quarterback. And, you know, but I was looking at the 10 teams I had in the Herd hierarchy and their quarterbacks, and this is where the NFL is so well positioned for the future, is that of the 10 quarterbacks, you're covered for the future. You got 4 young guys, Mahomes, Lamar, Josh, and Kyler. So the future's covered. You got the old guys who have the brand, who, you know, they're good for branding. We've seen them before. They're part of the sports history. Aaron Rodgers, Brady, and Matt Stafford. You got the old guys, the veteran guys that a lot of people root for. And you don't just have old guys and young guys. Then you got guys in the middle that are kind of in their prime. They're very, very good. Dak, Tannehill, and Derek Carr. You're covered. You got the future. You got the older present. You got really good guys who are a little under the radar, maybe are not ranked here or there. The NFL is in a really good spot right now. Their branding's good. The right teams are good. I mean, if you look at Fox, we have the NFC. You know, this, I was just talking to a boss this morning about this. You know what we're going to get in the playoffs? We're going to get Dak and the Cowboys. We're going to get Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. And we're going to get a lot of Tom Brady. And number 4 could be the L.A. market, the Rams. And they're fun to watch. The Rams are very explosive. They're very well coached. That's pretty good. Now, you have smaller markets in the AFC, but I get Lamar, Mahomes, Josh Allen. I mean, just this league has, you got the old guys with the big brands. You got the emerging stars. You got big markets, L.A. covered. You got Buffalo and Baltimore covered. My daughter called me this morning. Can you get me Ravens tickets? I want to go see a friend in Baltimore. I'm like, they sell all their seats. Can you ask for Jags tickets? I can get you Jaguars. Can I get some Baltimore tickets?
I feel like you have that influence. I think you have that power.
I'm like, Baltimore sells.
And they still like you in Baltimore, so.
They should.
Yeah.
I love Baltimore.
Now, where could you not get tickets? Might be a little difficult in Cleveland.
I wouldn't go to Cleveland at this point.
I'm not sure. I might have to make the calls in Miami.
That's funny. Is Bucher ready to go? NBA season starts tonight. My buddy, Fox Sports NBA analyst Rick Bucher joins us live. I mean, Ravens tickets. Who can get Ravens tickets? All right. So I said this. I do kind of feel with the Lakers, it kind of does feel like, listen, Westbrook, listen, he doesn't wear well over time. AD's slightly declining. LeBron's older. Frank Vogel, a lot of egos, could be turbulent. It kind of feels like this may be LeBron's last great shot, right? No longer do young stars saddle up with LeBron like they did in Miami, feeling, oh, I'll go win a championship with LeBron. It does feel like, to me, this year, this could be LeBron's last King of the Hill year where he's a favorite, he goes and wins, or am I too hyperbolic here?
No, Colin, I don't know why you're equivocating. Like, why are you half-stepping on this? Without question, they've pushed all their chips to the middle of the table. This is the last gasp. Let's get all of the old guard together. Let's get a bunch of guys who have not won a championship and may be hungry for it and may be willing to sacrifice in order to get it done. Let's see if this ultimately will work. But with 5 guys over the age of 35, and I believe 9 on the roster over the age of 30, we know which direction this team is going. And they've basically spent all of their assets, yep, all of their young assets and building blocks in order to take this one last shot. And yeah. LeBron doesn't need it to justify the move. to LA, but ultimately, if we're going to say this was an unqualified success in coming to the LA, coming to the Lakers, two, without question, sounds better than one.
Yeah.
But just be forewarned, if they don't get it, they are falling off the cliff after this. Like, they are old and expensive, and that's not a good thing to have with a guy who's 37 years old, who you cannot replicate with another piece. It's not like we're going to find somebody else and we can kind of massage this and build around him instead of LeBron. They already tried that. That was the idea with Anthony Davis. We've already seen that it's not going to go in that direction. So you don't have to, like, question that you're moving in this direction. Like, open up the sail and go up full bore.
Yeah.
This is the last best chance.
Okay, how does Kyrie play out? I said this last year when he disappeared for 2 weeks. He's the only star in my life I'd trade for bench players. I just get him out of the organization. He said he won't retire, which I think does give Brooklyn a little tiny crevice to potentially move him. I think the Clippers could be an interesting place. How do you think it ends in Brooklyn with Kyrie?
I think there's one of two things. Well, the first thing will be that they just want to see how long is this mandate going to stay in place? And how can we get along through the first 15, 20 games? What do we look like? Are we sailing? Are we fine? Are we okay? I hate to use the sailing reference twice in a row, but how are we? And if we're okay with Kyrie being on the side, then maybe we just wait this out and we get him back when the mandate is loosened and see where we go. Now, if they're struggling right out of the gate, then that's obviously an asset that they can translate into an addition of talent. But the other tricky part is going to be, regardless of what he says as far as I'm not going to retire, the question still is, what impact is he going to have on your franchise? And is he going to be there not be there because of something else that's come up, some other cause that distracts him or that he finds more important? He said it at one of the post-game press conferences. Basketball just wasn't that important to him. It wasn't the most important thing. I think it was the Palestine-Israel conflict, and he had just spent 2.5 hours playing basketball. But as soon as he got to the podium, there were more important things. So, if I'm running a franchise and what I have to pay Kyrie Irving and what I'd have to give up to get Kyrie Irving, a guy that's not all in on doing his job is not a guy I would want in my franchise. For the same reason that you're saying, if I'm Brooklyn, I would like to move on without him. I would think every other franchise would have the trepidation of bringing him in.
By the way, Ben Simmons, we got a couple of minutes left. I said this years ago. When a player's a problem, get on the phone, do it quietly, move him. It only gets worse. The player has more leverage. Does Ben Simmons have a market in this league? Could you trade him?
Oh, yeah, you can trade him. You just can't trade him for where Daryl Morey has set the standard. You're not going to get a C.J. McCollum, much less a Damian Lillard. You're not going to get a Bradley Beal. You're going to have to, Daryl Morey's going to have to get to the point where he believes in addition by subtraction. And that's not where he is right now. The problem is with Ben is that Ben very much wants to be traded. He has made that clear. They have not traded him. So now he said, you know what? You embarrassed me last summer by saying that I was the reason, one play was the reason that we lost the series to the Atlanta Hawks. You put that all on me. You know what? I'm going to embarrass you now. I'm going to show up in order to get my paycheck, but I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to let you think that you can talk me into returning. I'm going to be I'm going to humiliate you in the same way that you humiliated me last summer. And that's what he's about. The problem is that undermines the ability to trade him, because everybody's looking at it saying, well, Daryl has to move him. It has to be addition by subtraction. So we're going to lowball him. And Daryl's like, no, I got a team that's, I think, on the cusp of playing for a championship. I need to get talent that can help me right now. Draft picks isn't going to do it. Young talent isn't going to do it. I need a bona fide all-star coming back in my direction. And that's just because of the way Ben is handling it and where Daryl has set the bar. There's no easy solution right now. I would imagine what they're going to try to do is hope that they can get, again, very much like the Kyrie Irving situation. Let's see the first 15, 20 games. Let's see if somebody who thinks they're a title contender starts to panic. Let's see if the Los Angeles Lakers get off to a terrible start and say, you know what, we got to change something up. We need to add some defense. Could they bite on something? That, I believe, is going to be the strategy at this point, because there is not a market for Ben Simmons as of right now, at least not one that Daryl Morey finds suitable.
All right, league starts tonight. Good seeing you, buddy. Rick Bucher, Fox Sports NBA analyst. Good stuff. It is, you know, it is, you never see this in the WNBA. It's something about guys and egos. When's the last time you had two stars in the WNBA pouting and crazy time? Like, you don't see it. You know, I just look at this and I'm like, the media loves for athletes to have power and say, but this has always been my knock. The NBA has always been a players' league. I'm comfortable with that. But there is a point where labor has to be responsible. And remember, labor in the NBA is like 27 years old. So the hierarchy, the way football is built, the power is into older coaches and older quarterbacks and older GMs. Just like the company I work for and all the companies. In the NBA, the power is often with 26-year-olds. It doesn't matter what business you're in. That's a dicey proposition. So it's interesting because both the Nets and the Sixers have put their foot down in the last, like, 10 days. They're like, enough now. We're over it. We're not going to do a Harden in Houston where you upend the franchise. So I praise both the Sixers and the Nets for saying enough is enough. We're not going to be controlled by one person. We got a bunch of good dudes here and a bunch of good coaches, and we're not going to let one employee in their 20s ruin our franchise. For that, the Sixers and the Nets deserve credit. Hour three next.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Ready, set, griddle this grilling season. Get the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge. It reaches up to 500 degrees. The Weber Works Prep cook and store system keeps cooking supplies handy, and you can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils you need. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate Rust Resistant.